Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen, and welcome to Prophetic Atmosphere. Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining me tonight as we begin to delve into the Word of God and hear what the Spirit has to say prophetically to His people. But before I begin, I want to go into the announcements and present those before you and then get right into this Word. We have a lot of passages of scripture to go through tonight, and I just want to make room for the Holy Ghost to do what He wants and needs to do in the lives of every last one of us. Amen? Amen. Listen, this evening's announcements are as follows. Every Tuesday at 7 p.m., forgive me, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself. On Thursdays, you know, join me for Prophetic Atmosphere at 7 p.m. You can hear all of our broadcasts live at www.ctkr.org. As you're visiting our website, please take some time to get to know us in general, Apostle McQueen and myself, get to know the ministries that we cover. And also, if any of you would like more information, becoming a prayer partner with this ministry, amen, sowing a seed into this ministry, or even if you would like to invite myself or Apostle McQueen to minister at your church or any program that you may have, while you're at our website, go to our contact page. If you scroll down maybe about the third paragraph, you will see, amen, all of that information right there. As you click on that information, please be as detailed as possible, and someone will get in contact with you within 12 to 24 hours. Amen. As I said before, people of God, pray about becoming a vision partner with this ministry, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, helping us to spread, amen, the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen, amen, and amen again. Those are the announcements for this evening. I am ready. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to get into this Word on tonight. Amen. If any of you have been with us for some time, or within the past couple of weeks, you know that Apostle has been preaching, amen, concerning this Word and about, amen, on Kingdom Lifestyles and really understanding, amen, our purpose, our design, amen, in Him, our reason for being, really understanding why we are called and chosen by the Father. And the main reason why we are chosen by Him, amen, is that we are to complete the assignment that each and every one of us have in the earth for His doing, amen. as if any of you have been following this ministry, you know, and I've been saying this since 2010, this thing here is not about you. It's not about me. It's not about you making a name for yourself. It's not about you building your own monument and your own kingdom. Amen. It's not about you leaving a legacy, amen, in the earth. It's about making sure that the gospel is preached to every creature and making sure that you are fulfilling God's lifelong assignment in the earth. That's really all it's about, preaching, teaching the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ and demonstrating, amen, his word with signs, wonders, and miracles and making disciples. Uh-huh. Yeah, I said that. Making disciples of Christ, not disciples of you, but disciples of Christ. Part of the issue now that we have is that we have a lot of people making disciples after their own name instead of after the name of Christ. Amen. Being a disciplined Christian, strengthening, amen, the people of God, teaching them and training them how to get in this book and how to rightly live a righteous, sanctified, holy life. And not only that, knowing how to fight and defeat the devil, amen. And not only that, but learning most of all how to fulfill their kingdom assignment in the earth. Now tonight, I want you to turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, going into the first verse. We're going to read down to the fifth verse, and then I'm just going to go through as the Holy Spirit leads me. Amen. I do have several scriptures in place, but we're going where he wants to go and where he leads, as the song says, we will follow. Amen. We will follow. Amen. Now, as you're getting there, the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Amen. Book of Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to be coming out of the Amplified version on tonight. Amen. Amen. And amen again. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. 2 Timothy. One more time. Chapter 4. We're going to start at the first verse and just read down, excuse me, and the word of the Lord reads as such. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, reading out of the Amplified version, who is to judge the living and the dead, by in the light of his coming and his kingdom. Mm-hmm. Herald. And preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by, be at hand and ready. Whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome, you as preacher of the word are to show people in what way their lives are wrong. I know that's not popular because nobody wants to be told that they're wrong. Let's continue reading. And convince them, rebuking and correcting, warning and urging and encouraging them, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. Verse 3. For the time is coming. Someone say the time is now. For the time is coming when people will not tolerate, endure sound and wholesome instruction, but having itching ears for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold, and will turn aside from hearing the truth, and wander off into myths and man-made fictions. Verse 5, as for you, be calm and cool and steady. Accept and suffer unflinchingly every hardship. Do the work of the evangelist. Fully perform all the duties of your ministry. And the word of the Lord is blessed. Come on, let us pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, God, I thank you for your presence already here. I thank you for your anointing. Father, right now, touch the lives of your people in the name of Jesus. Father, I'm asking right now that you would begin to resurrect words that have been spoken into their lives. God, you would begin to resurrect the purpose and the reason why you called them. God, you put a hunger down on the inside of their belly. Turn over that prayer wheel. Turn over that prayer warrior. Turn over that intercessor. Turn over that fivefold minister in the name of Jesus. Even those, God, you may have not called to be behind the sacred desk, but you called every last one of us to be ambassadors. You called every last one of us to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost. Help us right now. We bind the spirit of fear. We lay the axe at the root right now. We root it out in the name of Jesus. God, I'm asking that you will rewire our mindsets, Father, in the name of Jesus. Give us a mindset that is focused on you. Give us a holy mindset, holy words, God, speaking truth in love, constantly enduring, being patient in the name of Jesus. God, right now, stir up every prayer gift, stir up every prayer warrior, stir up every intercessor in the name of Jesus. Let us not rest no longer, God, but begin to shake us and shift us out of this place of comfort, out of this place of conformity and mediocrity, God, in the name of Jesus. Set us on the path of pathway being straight, God. Help us to call upon your name saying, what must I do to be saved? Help us get back to the place, God, where we begin to cry out for holiness, where we begin to cry out for you and more of you. In the name of Jesus, oh God, right now, put your words in my mouth. Help me to speak the oracles on tonight as you would see fit. Not my opinion, not what I think it ought to be, but Holy Spirit, you have your way and you speak what it needs to be. Let someone hear tonight what they need to hear so that they will begin to turn around, that they will begin to be shifted. Take the scales off of our eyes in the name of Jesus, the cotton out of our ears. Turn our heads back towards you, God, that we may lift up our hands, put us back on the potter's wheel on tonight. In Jesus' name, glory to God. We thank you. We praise you. We magnify you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wherever you are right now, son or daughter, put those hands together and give my God, your God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, some praise in this place. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, he's worthy of the praise. Hallelujah. He's worthy of the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Excuse me. Here we have, amen, Paul preaching to his spiritual son, Timothy, right before he begins to, or he realizes, I should say, that this is it for him. He has completed his journey, because if you just go down to the sixth verse, Paul says to him, listen, I am being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. So here it is, we see Paul realizing that he has completed his journey of faith. He has completed his assignment. But before he goes, he needs to pour in and begin to pour out of himself to complete or birth that successor that needs to come after him. He said, listen, you need to realize that out of everything that you do, out of everything that you go through, he said, preach this gospel. In the same passage of scripture in the New King James Version, he says, I charge you, or I command you, I give you a commandment on tonight, people of God, that we need to get back to preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Verse 2, preach the word. We're doing a lot of preaching, but a lot of it isn't the word, people of God. We're doing a lot of talking. We're doing a lot of clicheing. We're doing a lot of word matching and rhyming and timing. But is it really the word of God? Because the last time I checked, the Bible says that the word is sharper than a two-edged sword. In other words, if you're constantly going to the house of God, and every message, every time you come out, you always feeling good and on a high. And I'm not saying nothing's wrong with that, but there should come a time where that word begins to challenge you. That word will sometimes, the true word of God will make you angry. The true word of God will begin to point and shine the light. There used to be a song that was sung. The old saints would say, shine on me, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. The word of God will find you in your place. It will find you in your sin. It will find you where you're not measuring up to the things that are according to this word. Amen. The anointing of the Most High God, when you really want to seek his face and you really want to walk worthy of him, when the word of God is truly preached, that word will convict you. That word will jack you up. That word will slap you upside the head. That word will make you angry. That word, amen, will make you want to grab your pocketbook and your three children and say, you know what, we're getting up out of here. The next time he gets up and the people holler and shout, we need to exit the building. The word of God will challenge you to change. Now, I'm not against anybody having a good time in church. I'm all for it. I like the music just like everybody else. I like to get my clap on. I like to get my shout on. I also like to get my worship on. But when all of the fanfare, amen, is done, and I'm not calling all of that just fanfare, because I know that there's true anointed men and women of God who play and sing and usher in his presence. But when all of that is done and the stage is set for his presence, we need to be in a place where our ears are attuned, amen, to the voice of the Most High God. For many of us, we're always talking about, I wish the Lord would speak to me. I wish the Lord would talk to me. Half of us, we wouldn't be speaking or seeking out a prophet or a prophetess all the time. Because if we would really get in a place where we would open up our ears and begin to listen to the pastor, whether male or female, the leader preach that word, God most of the time will answer every question that you have. He does not go beyond his word. Let me help you, prophets. Let me help you, prophetesses, those that are in training. The word of God is the highest form of prophecy. I know right now some of you like, you're doing a lot of screaming tonight. I can't help it, because I can feel the presence of God on the inside of me. It's time out, amen, for the mess. It's time out for all these excuses we keep making. It's time out for this church that we call church. It's time for us to get back to the rock. What is that rock? Jesus. It's time to get back to not only just demonstrating the word, but we need to see the power of God being manifested and resonated in people's lives, not only in the church, but also on the street corner, also on your job, huh? Also in your car, also hanging around your friends, also at the park. We need to see God being magnified and lifted up and people's lives being changed and shaped in his image. Coming out of the Amplified, he said, listen, preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. In other words, be ready at all times. When I was being trained and answered my call to the ministry, and my spiritual parents would be like, you know what, you need to be ready. I would always hear that word, be ready in season and out of season. You don't never know when the microphone's coming your way. You never know when someone's going to call on you, but you need to have a word in your belly. Yeah, I'm going back a ways. But you need to always have a word. See, here's the thing, people of God. When you actually have a relationship with the master, when you go before him, you get in his face, you take some time. Instead of us always taking hours upon hours in that television, hours upon hours on that Facebook and all that social stuff that we try to do, because all it is microwave Pop-Tart messages that we hear, because that keeps us from being submitted, to somebody in leadership that's going to challenge that mess that we keep doing that we think nobody knows about. But that's another message, leaving that alone. Listen. When you have a relationship with the master, that means getting in your prayer closet, That means actually opening up the book and reading his word and seeing what he actually has to say. And as you begin to do that on a regular basis and actually still go before God and go to the to Sunday school or go to Bible study or however your church is set up, and as you're going and fellowshipping with the saints, the word of God begins to get poured in you. The seeds that have been planted begin to come up. Such so that when somebody calls on you and says, hey, we need you to minister tonight, or we need you to pray over this, that, and the other, then you're not sitting there petrified and stumbling over words. Father, you know in the name of his son Jesus, who rules and super rules, Lord, we just thank you right now. You don't sound like you just got in there yesterday, especially if you've been saved for a number of years. Yeah, we give you room to grow. We know it's not going to flow. We know it's not going to roll off your tongue. It does take some practice. But however, when the word of God is on the inside of you, when those seeds begin to come up, at the same time that you need them, the Holy Ghost will begin to ignite what is on the inside of you, and you just begin to flow in his anointing. Nobody's looking for perfection. We just want somebody that knows him. Do you know him? When you pray, can I feel a change in the atmosphere? When I touched and agreed with you, was the situation worked out? He said, stand by and be ready, and be at hand and ready. For many of us, the spirit of fear rests, rules, and abides in our lives. Yeah, I'm going to call it like it is, because it's the truth anyhow. We're going to get free tonight. Too many of us, God has been dealing with us, speaking to us, opening our eyes, showing us some things, but we allow, amen, the enemy to use fear to rule, rest, and abide and drive our lives. And as we're allowing him to do all of that, we still say, well, I don't know if the Lord is talking to me. I don't know. We begin to make excuses for the reason why we do not move. When in reality, like the Holy Ghost showed me and told me, all it is really a spirit of disobedience. And disobedience is the sin of witchcraft. That's really what you're operating in, that spirit of witchcraft. I'm just telling you how he told me. I didn't like it either. Trust me. I didn't want to hear it either. I was trying to make every excuse in the world as to the reason why I could not do, why I would not begin to say, those people don't know me. They're going to laugh at me. I don't know if I really heard you, Lord. I don't want them to call on me. Let them pass me by. But yet at the same time, I'm miserable because I'm not being used. I'm saying in another voice, use me, Lord. But he would not let me rest. He would not let me settle. Why? Because there was a calling on my life. I am one that has been chosen. He has chosen you to do whatever he's called you to do. And no matter what you try to do, child of God, you will never be able to get comfortable and rest completely, because the Lord has need of you. So whatever you got to do, fast it out, cry it out, shout it out, pray it out, lay hands on your own self, physician. But you cannot let fear rule your life. We cannot allow fear to go into 2014. Aren't you tired of being scared of your own doggone shadow when he has given you the authority? If you have the Holy Ghost and speak in any type of tongue, or have just to have the Holy Ghost period in your life, you have the authority. But we act as though we don't have nothing. We act as though we don't even know the master. I'm going to help somebody tonight. helping myself at the same time. He said, whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable. In other words, you may not get that $20,000 offering honorarium. Can you still preach the word? Can you still go up there and minister his word without any hesitation, without any feelings of these people ought to be glad I showed up here and I'm only going to preach half of a message because my money ain't right. What? That's part of our issue now, people of God. We have too much of that going on. People will sit here and hold the word hostage because somebody did not give them their $20,000 honorarium. Listen, I do fully believe that the workman is worthy of his hire. I do believe and fully stand and support that we do need to take care of our men and women of God. We cannot nickel and dime them. But man and woman of God, there are going to be times, amen, when the Lord will tell you, I need you to go here and minister, and they're not going to have a dime to give you, or I need you to go here and preach my word, and they may have everything that you need, but they still cheat you and leave you with a piece of chicken and a handshake and say thank you. Are you on assignment or is this a business? Well, church is a business, child. I don't know what you're talking about. I understand it's a business, but we got to realize that kingdom business is different from the world's business. And somewhere along the line, the lines have blurred drastically, where we can no longer separate his business, God's business, from our personal agenda. Help me, Jesus. Help me. Help me to stay pure before you. Help your people to stay pure before you. He said, listen, whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable, whether you get the 5-star hotel, or maybe you're going to have to sleep at the saint's house, at the deacon's house. I know y'all don't like me. I can feel it. Y'all don't want to hear this because somewhere, someplace, somebody told you that ministry was glamorous. Somewhere, somebody told you that you was going to be a superstar in the gospel. You was going to be a rock star. We have too many rock star preachers and teachers out here now that have put a shadow, amen, over the true saints, over the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And so now we have people seeking after stardom instead of seeking after the King. Whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome. In other words, there's going to be times when he sends you somewhere and you're going to preach it as he gives it, and won't nobody lift a hand, won't nobody say amen. Arms will be crossed, teeth will be sucked, necks will be rolled, eyes will be looking up around their head. Listen, he said, preach it. Say it with me. Preach the word. He said, you as a preacher of the word are to show people in what way their lives are wrong. Well, prophetess, we're not trying to shove Jesus down nobody's throat. Jesus is love. Yes, he is love, child of God. He is love, but also he is a holy God. And we got to start telling the people of God that he is a holy God, because there are going to be some upset folks when they begin to see him and he begins to say, your name is not in the book. Depart from me, I knew you not. We as leaders, amen, we as people who are saved, who have whatever the call that God has placed on your life, like I said, everybody's not going to be behind the pulpit, but whatever work and assignment and task he has given you to do, you want to do that with all the faithfulness that you can, and realize that whoever God places in your life to minister to, whoever God places in your life, that you are responsible for that soul. We don't want to be responsible for anybody anymore. The first time people mess up, we say, well, child, you just don't want them. You just don't want them. I can't help you. You got too many problems and issues. But hey, you got to remember somebody carried you. Some mother prayed for you. Some grandmama prayed for you. Some deacon, some saint, some intercessor that whose face you may never have seen. God put your face in their heart to pray and intercede for you until you got it right. So how dare we all of a sudden get to a place where we ain't got no patience, we ain't got no time for folks. They just messy. I don't want to be bothered with them. They just messy. Well, let's really be real. Real talk. It took you 10 to 15 years for you to get where you are. And the truth be known, if the Lord happens to pull up the little or draw back the curtains, we will still see some junk in your life, some things you haven't quite let go, some situations you still holding on to, some unforgiveness, some places you've been playing that you had no business playing. In the midst of you, amen, in the midst of me, in the midst of us, I'm coming out of 2 Timothy 4, amen, if you're just now joining us, and I'm talking and coming out of 4 and 2, and I'm coming out of the Amplified Version, and he says, listen, this is Paul talking to Timothy. He said, "What preaching the word, whether it is convenient or inconvenient, whether it is welcome or unwelcome, you as the preacher of the word are to show people in what way their lives are wrong." So in other words, this word will challenge you. Like I said earlier, if every time you walk into the house of God and all the messages, amen, are nothing but uplifting and psychological and, you know, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right today. Just keep telling yourself, keep thinking it. And as you think it, you know, and as you say it 6 or 7 times a day, it is going to happen for you. Listen, that word, I don't know what church you were going to, but I know when I was listening to the word in the beginning of being saved, that word tore me up some places. That word convicted me. That word challenged me. There were times when that word would cut so deep, all I could do was just lay on the altar and say, God, save me again. As the old folks used to say, wash me, Lord. Wash me over again. Wash me in the precious blood. Cleanse my heart. Lay the axe at the root. Take it out. If there's anything you find in me, take it out, God. Take it out. I want to be saved. I want to be right. I want to be whole. We don't say those things no more. We don't have no altar calls no more. Why? Because we're trying to prophesy everybody into the kingdom. We're trying to prophesy the money. We're trying to prophesy the houses. We're not telling people that your life standard, your life has to line up with the message. And people of God, we still, even as we are preaching the word and showing people that the, in what ways their lives are wrong, you can't beat the people down with the word of God either. In other words, you can't be preaching, ain't nobody saved and ain't nobody making it but just us. The devil is a lie. Ain't nobody right. Ain't nobody going to make it. We can't preach that either. You got to give people answers. As you're showing them that their lives are wrong, you also got to show them how to get out of the situation and how Jesus, amen, is the answer to the problem, and giving them instructions and guiding them and loving them. And he says here, as you preach, amen, the word, you are to show people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them. He didn't say just cut them up, bash them up, slice them up, leave them bleeding all over the place. No, he didn't say that. He said convince them. And at times you got to rebuke. And while you're rebuking them, correct them. Use the love of Christ to correct. Rebuke them and correct them. Just don't rebuke them and then leave them. Because nothing's the Bible, and I'm paraphrasing this right now, but they talked about a wounded brother is hard to win. And we have a lot of wounded saints that love the Lord but refuse to step one foot in the house of God because somebody just outright abused them and dogged them. Left them for dead. And the truth, really be known, Some of us have been in that same exact situation. So we are familiar. So how is it that we would try to even do the same to somebody else? He said, show people in what way their lives are wrong and convince them, rebuking and correcting, warning and urging, at the same time encouraging, being unflagging and inexhaustible in patience and teaching. In other words, don't give up because they didn't get it today. Keep preaching, keep pushing, keep striving. Keep pouring it into them. Keep planting the seed. Some days you're going to plant. Some days you're going to water. But always remember, Satan, the Most High God, that he is the one that gives the increase. Not you, not I. Only God can allow that light, that revelation to come on the inside of them where they say, you know what? That's what you meant, God. I thank you. Our job, amen, people of God, is to get pour the seed, amen, put the seed in them, water the seed at times, pour the seed in and continuously, and then allow God to do the growing and the grooming as need be. You got to remember, these are not our people. Whoever God has put in your pathway, amen, and has given you charge over, they're not your people. You just have temporary ownership. But he holds you accountable and responsible, amen, for you to pour into their lives, growing them up in the spirit, growing them up in the things of God, teaching them how to pray, teaching them how to fast, teaching them how to live a righteous life, teaching them how to war spiritually, teaching them how to love, watching them grow the fruits of the spirit, and eventually watching them begin to walk out the lifestyle, their assignment that God has for them, and blessing them as they do so. Blessing them as they do so. In other words, everybody's not going to be with you forever. So quit trying to tether people to us for life. Now, the Lord has them there to be a foundation, has them there to be a pillar. That's one thing. But we have to understand there are some people that are going to come through that already have what they need, and you are just there to give them that last piece before they shoot off. And that's not the time to get jealous. That's not the time to keep them submissive. That's not the time to keep them up under your foot until you feel that they're ready. You know I'm telling the truth, because we have been, some of us have been in those exact situations where God has been pouring into us and strengthening us and growing us and leading us, and all of a sudden you get someplace and all of a sudden they want to try to knock you down to the very most common denominator until they feel that you're ready to be exalted. Listen, baby, that's nothing but man trying to govern you. Well, until I feel that you're ready. That's different. Listen to what I'm saying now. I'm not giving nobody carte blanche to not be submitted to anybody. That's not what prophetess is saying. Because if God leads you to a true leader, you are to be submitted to that leader. But a godly leader will allow you room to grow, allow you room to spread your wings, allow your gifts to be distributed in front of the people and not be jealous of you. Verse 3, he said, listen, the time is coming. After we have preached the word, continuously encouraging them, unflagging, inexhaustible in patience and teaching, he said, because a time is coming when people will not tolerate, endure sound and wholesome instruction. We are in that time right now where people will not tolerate the truth. We'll try to argue you down. You can show people the word of God and they'll still sit here and try to argue you down, talking about that ain't what it's really meaning. That ain't what it said. and will almost be to a point where they want to fight you and just be disrespectful and hateful to you. It used to be a time, amen, where the Bible said, come and let us reason together. Yes, your sword should be sharpened. You should be able to discuss the word and be able to rightfully withstand, because anybody should not be able to come and just say anything and you're like, yeah, that's right, and not know the word for yourself. But at the same time, when somebody is coming with truth, that's not for us to begin to just be blatantly disrespectful and calling folks out of their anointing and just being nasty and vile and wicked. And we have too much of that spirit running rampant, amen, in the body of Christ. Now, if the people in the body of Christ can't respect you, how do you think those in the world should respect you? He said, for the time is coming when people will not tolerate or endure sound and wholesome instruction, but having itching ears for something pleasing, listen now, and gratifying, they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number chosen, listen to this now, to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors that they hold. Listen, this scripture is basically saying, even though truth comes and they know the truth, they will still seek out those who will tell them the lies that they want to already believe, that they have conjured up in their own perception. And they will seek out people that will be in agreement, amen, with those lies, with those untruths, with their perception, amen. They will gather one after the other, even though they know, amen, that is wrong. And to begin to foster or to build or surround or strengthen, amen, the errors that they hold. King James says it like this: because they have itching ears, they will heap up to themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. They'll be turned aside to non-truths, this Gnostic gospel that have been preaching and teaching, and prosperity is the only way to get into the kingdom. All this craziness we call the word, as I said in the opening of this broadcast, it's a lot of preaching going on, but how much of it is really the word of God? Some of us don't even go to church at all. We use the Facebook as our church. And the truth of the matter is, most of those people, not everybody, but a lot of those people on there, we don't even know where they came from, if they're even accountable to anybody or anything, what type of lifestyle they live in. And we just sitting up there eating every word that come up out of everything they type. We just, yeah, that's it. I like. You got to be careful. You got to know this word. Gratifying. Mm-hmm. And pleasing. That's what he said. Not me. I'm not talking about it. He said, this is him, the Bible. He said, and gratifying that they will gather to themselves one teacher after another to a considerable number chosen. In other words, they're seeking out specific people that are going to teach and preach what they want to hear. Later for my life changing. Huh? Later for the truth. Later for anything that's going to cause me to go in the direction that God wants me to go. I just want my name in life. I just want to be more popular. I have nothing to do with him. And we'll turn aside, verse 4, people of God, and we'll turn aside from hearing the truth. Mm-hmm. And wander off into myths and man-made fictions. I'm going to talk to the pastors out here, or those that are in leadership. You and And even those of you who may not be in leadership, you can relate to this. How many times have we seen people come to church sitting on the front row, get themselves all involved in every auxiliary that they can, and the minute that the pastor says something that they don't like, they start moving from the first row to the fifth row, the fifth row to the tenth row, the tenth row to the twelfth row. From the twelfth row, all of a sudden they want to have a meeting with the pastor talking about, well, you know, I feel the Lord leading me in another direction because I'm just not getting fed here. No, you're getting fed. What it is that the pastor or that leader will no longer cater, amen, to what you were doing and started pointing out to you what the word of God says because your heart wasn't right in the situation. And because you didn't like it and you felt challenged, you decided that this is your time to gather up your bags and pack up your kids and grab your husband and everything else and go. I feel another ministry calling me. You just can't go. Just pack up your kids and your husband and everything and just go. No, you got to poison the minds and the ears of the other saints that are there. Now all of a sudden you want to become the pew pastor, the pew leader. And then you want to deposit seeds of discord. And will turn aside from hearing the truth and wander off unto myths and man-made factions. In other words, words that are not lining up with God's word. Doing different things that are not lining up that are pleasing him. Let me take you to another scripture because I really want to talk about this tonight. And one of the things that I'm really addressing is how the Lord has been dealing with me is that he is calling a people back to holiness. God wants to do a mighty work in the earth in these last days, and he wants to use you, ma'am, and me. You, sir, and me. He wants to use us in the earth. Because the time is out. We have preached all this word, but we have not seen the manifestation of his glory. And God wants to manifest his glory in the earth through you and I. But we, his people, have to get ourselves in a place, amen, where he can begin to manifest himself through us. And for a lot of us, this flesh has to die. We need to peel away some layers. And let God begin to deal with some things on the inside. And I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not questioning your salvation at all. But if you live this kind of life, there's still some issues, amen. There's still some situations that hurt you. There's still some old things you're holding on to. There may even be some things that you are practicing because it's so ingrained in you. You're doing it out of habit. You don't even realize that you're doing it. It's just something you do. Attitude real quick. If I don't have my way, I tend to run my mouth. I always feel I got to have the last say. I'm always embellishing a little bit too much. When I'm a little jealous of sister and brother so-and-so because I'm living all I know how and they living half of nothing and they seem to every time they put their hand to do something, it just seemed to prosper. That ain't right, God. What kind of mess is this? We might lie a little bit too much, be a little envious too much, refuse, allow fear to rest and rule in our lives a little bit too much. Whatever that too much may be, the Bible strictly says, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. Malachi 3, starting at verse 2. Let's go there for a minute, shall we? Malachi 3 and 2. Thank you, Lord. The day is coming, people of God. We keep asking God for the fire. We keep asking more of you, Lord, less of me, more of you, less of me. Something about the fire of God, the fire or fire itself is a purifier. Fire can be a cleanser if it needs to be. It can also be just as destructive as it needs to be, if not harnessed properly. But I'm asking God in 2014 and beyond to burn up everything that is not like him. That means, saints of the Most High God, I pray that you're with me in this as well. I want God to use me. It's too much that God has for me. It's too much that God has for you. You're not operating or walking in the fullness of really what he has for you. Why? Because there may be a little bit of this just hanging on. It may be too much of that hanging on. You may be hanging around the wrong crowd. You may have even become complacent where you used to be on fire for him. We got to get back to a place of holiness and righteousness. Malachi, amen, chapter 3, verses 2 and 4, coming out of the New King James Version, he says this, but who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? Talking about Jesus. He said, for he is like a refiner's fire. And a launderer's soap. He's a refiner's fire. In other words, when his presence comes where you are, when you begin to say, Lord, I'm putting myself on the wheel, the potter's wheel. I'm laying myself before you. This isn't the time to be talking about it was their fault. They shouldn't have did that to me. They shouldn't have said that. No, it's not that time. When we lay before the master, that's the time to say, Lord, what the part that I played in it, I held on to it for a little while too long. I dipped into the situation a little longer. I entertained those conversations a little bit too much. I filled my eye gate, ear gate, my senses with a little bit too much TV and reality TV. I've become dull, a little bit dull in my hearing. I'm coming before you, God, because I realize there's some things on the inside of me that are not like you. And I need you to wash me in your blood. Wash me and purify me. Bring the fire of God up on me and purge me. We don't want to talk about purging no more because we think in our minds like the old saints are purging. You got to get the baskets and somebody hollering Jesus, Jesus, Jesus all over you and causing you to spit up. If that's what you have to go through, then so be it. But not all the time is it going to be that type of situation. It's just being able to submit yourself before him, be naked before him and say, God, get this mess up out of me. I can't be used for the glory that you have called me to do. I want to lay hands on the sick and watch them recover, whatever the sickness may be. I have family members that are around me that are still unsaved, and they're watching me. I need more faith. I need to see the dead raised. I need to go over into Africa or wherever you're trying, that I feel you're leading me. I need to see things change. For he is like a refiner's fire. Now, here's the thing, people of God. Don't sit here and ask for the fire, amen, and don't really mean it. Because when you begin to ask him for the fire, God's going to show up. But the thing is, we always want to get the fire so we can get the power. Ooh, give me the power. Power, power, Lord. Power, power, Lord. The refiner's fire comes first to purify you. Burn up the mess in you. We don't like that because when God begins to, when the Holy Ghost, let me talk about me. When he begins to shine the light, prophetess don't always like the light being shined. And if you be real with yourself, you don't like the light always being shined on you. But because I say, not thy will, not my will, but thy will be done. God, strap me to this potter's wheel. Strap me to it. Until you are formed in me. Matthew 3 and 10, and I'm going to leave you with this because my time is running, people of God. He said, Matthew 3, verses 10 through 12. He said, and even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Verse 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. This is John the Baptist. He said he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor. I don't know about you, but I want the fire. I hope you, man of God, woman of God, leader, that you want the fire too. Aren't you tired of the same old, same old? See, some of us, we've been speaking the same type of tongue. We've been seeing the singing, so singing the same songs. We even in our private prayer time, we've been just saying the same prayers. Baby, it's time for the fire of God to hit your life, hit your belly, where you begin to travail, where you begin to, where he begins to take your tongues to another level, where he begins to take your prayer life to another level, where he begins to challenge you, take your mind to another level, where you can begin to intercede for people that you never see, where he begins to wake you up at night and say, I need you to pray on this situation, where he begins to show you dreams and visions. Amen. The fire of God. I want the fire. 2014, I want the fire, because it's going to be those who are ready and prepared are going to be the ones that are going to be able to withstand this end time. Because it's not going to get no better. I don't care what all these prophets are saying. It's going to get hard for those who are not anchored in him. But he will protect his own. There is always hope in God. He will protect his own. So you don't get discouraged. You don't get out of place. Ask God for the fire. I dare you. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for those who have joined me here tonight. God, we ask you for the fire of God to begin to just breathe up on us. Father, we just begin to seek your face. We want more of you. We want more of you. We want more of you. Strap us to the potter's wheel, God. Anything, everything that is not like you, lay the axe to the root, God. We say yes to your will tonight. We say yes to your way tonight. Do what you need to do, God. Get the glory out of our lives. Use us for your glory in the mighty name of Jesus. We want the refiner's fire. We want the purifier of silver in our lives. We ask all this in Jesus' name. We pray, amen and amen. If you are not saved, please pray this prayer with me. Father, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. On the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're calling on your name tonight, God. Save, wash, cleanse. Come into my heart and my life. Make your abode in me. I want to serve you with everything that is within me. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome, man and woman of God, into the kingdom of God. We here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministry and Prophetic Atmosphere, we pray right now that God will lead you to a Bible church that's going to train you up, amen, into the things of God, mature you up into the things of God, that you will complete, amen, the assignment, the kingdom assignment that God has for you. Amen. Listen, I'm Prophetess Crystal McQueen. I want you to go to my website, www.ctkr.org. Amen. Like us on Facebook. You can find me under WOPD, also known as Women of Prophetic Destiny, or you can find our church ministry under Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. Listen, I love you. I pray the best for you. I pray that you would begin to seek God like never before, that he puts a hunger on the inside of you like never before, that you would thirst after him like a deer that panteth after water. Again, next week, at this time, 7 p.m. for Prophetic Atmosphere. God bless, and I love each and every one of you, and happy holidays and a blessed new year.